Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word that is difficult, that is challenging, that is confusing. Your word also gives us life. Open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to your word this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so a broad kind of question for you. What are some of the things Jesus says about his ministry and purpose? What comes to mind? Anything? Follow me. Yep, he does tell us that regularly, doesn't he? What are we following him to? Any ideas? One of the things I think of when I think of Jesus' purpose is from, I think it's Luke chapter 4. I marked it. Yes, it is Luke chapter 4 when he is in the synagogue in Nazareth on the Sabbath, and he quotes Isaiah, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's what I think of when I think of Jesus' mission and his purpose and ministry. Those are very specific words for what I think of as, in terms of a larger umbrella, is to reveal the heart of the Father. He says that in other places too. You know, if you see me, you see the Father. Are you okay? Okay. He's also come to proclaim the kingdom of God, and that it has come near. But on this Father's Day, I thought it would be appropriate to talk about what it means to reveal the heart of the Father and how we're invited to that in our lives as well. So, another question: what kind of heart does our Father God have? Love? What was the second thing? Oh, loving heart. Yes. What else? This isn't a trick question. Let's see. Some of the things that I wrote down were goodness, love, compassion, steadfastness, justice, righteousness, and mercy. Would you all agree that those are things that describe our God and his heart? Now, which of those things that I just mentioned do you think are specifically reserved for God alone or aren't our responsibility? Let me read them again. Goodness, love, compassion, steadfastness, justice, righteousness, and mercy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're called to obedience. Yeah. But in terms, so what I'm thinking is that in terms of what we can or cannot do, really, as human beings, I don't think it's our responsibility to deliver God's justice. And I also don't think that we can be righteous without God's help. So, like, inherently speaking, we are not necessarily righteous. Scripture tells us that. but through Jesus, we are. It's not my job to be, you know, the sword of justice in this world. It's my job to mirror in all of our jobs, not just mine, but speaking personally. It's my job to reflect God's goodness and love and compassion and mercy in this world. And keep those things in mind as I go through the rest of the sermon here. So what do we hear in this passage from Matthew? We heard Jesus tell his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We hear him first instruct his disciples to go only among the Jews, only among the Israelites. And then we hear him practically in the same breath tell them that, oh, by the way, you are going to go out and you are going to have an audience with the Gentiles, and the Jews are going to flog you in their synagogues, and you're going to be in front of like all of these people, Gentiles specifically, who are really not going to be in favor of what you're talking about. And he tells them what they will need and gives them warning. And what I want to focus on is how we can maybe do what Jesus tells his disciples to do. Now, in terms of how we interpret scripture, right? I'm probably 99% certain that none of us will be flogged in a synagogue. Like we can't, that probably does not apply to us, right? Like, and we're probably not going to be brought in front of like a district magistrate for telling someone about Jesus, telling someone about the love of God. That's not going to happen. But we're attacked and potentially questioned in other ways, aren't we? Jesus warning that it might be brother against brother, or, you know, parent against child. There can be disagreement in how we think of things and how we think about this God that we believe in. So in my research, I found this quote from a guy named Schweizer, I believe, and this was in my NIV commentary. Specifically relating to where Jesus says, you know, be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Schweizer writes, the caution of the disciples is to consist not in clever diplomatic moves, but in the purity of a life that is genuine and wears no masks. Let me read that again. The caution of the disciples is to consist not in clever diplomatic moves, but in the purity of a life that is genuine and wears no masks. In another part of the commentary, Wilkins, the author of this commentary, says, without innocence, the keenness or eagerness of the snake is crafty. A devious menace. I love that phrase. Like, that's a great way to describe it. And he goes on to say that without keenness or eagerness, the innocence of the dove is naive, helpless gullibility. We're not called to be one or the other. Jesus calls us to be both and. And it's difficult and necessary. And I think this quote from Schweizer, where he talks about not being manipulative or thinking about political or diplomatic moves, but how do we actually live our lives, right? We're supposed to live them with a purity that is genuine and wears no masks. And this purity is something that Jesus asks us to demonstrate, and he demonstrates for us. he represented and embodies God's heart, right? Like, that's why people loved him, and that's why people hated him. It was because he was unwilling to kowtow to either the Romans or the Jews in terms of their theology and expectations. He was called to show us God's heart. And in many ways, for us, if we are to follow Jesus in that way, right, if God invites us to demonstrate the Father's heart to people, it's a scary situation, right? It makes us vulnerable. It makes us, or it gives us the opportunity to share parts of ourselves that maybe we wouldn't otherwise, right? Like our spirituality, our spiritual journey with Jesus is something very personal. And so it can be incredibly unnerving to share that. Partly because we could be attacked from our story. And yet, like the disciples, we're called to do it anyway. We're called to show and extend God's love, to demonstrate the heart of the Father through compassion and mercy. And one of the things that I've noticed is that when I am calm and kind and compassionate in the face of someone else who wants to argue, or, you know, wants to be proven right, or is feeling threatened, when I am that way, it completely disrupts the other person. They don't know how to react because they're expecting a fight. But also, my compassion and kindness and calmness also undercuts and undermines their desire for power and control. And it undermines their narrative for what makes them feel important. Because there, I don't play ball. Like, I'm not willing to feed into your ego, generally. Because of my relationship with God, God has told me that my ego is not always helpful. And so that might be the understatement of the day. My ego does not help me reflect the love and heart of Jesus. And so through my job, in a lot of ways, I get to help people reframe what their understanding is of God's heart, of their relationship with God, and how God might be inviting them into something else. I'm really lucky that this is my work. And yet, we're all called to this, regardless of whether or not you have a spiritual director, regardless of whether or not you feel like you're called to be, a teacher or a leader. We're all invited to get to know the heart of God, because that's what changes us. Right? That's what makes us into a better reflection or a better likeness of Christ. And I also think that we need to begin to embrace God's heart before we can go out and tell other people what it is. How many of you have ever met like one of the grumpiest people on the planet who has said to you, "God is love," and then they're just absolutely cranky and they're not a good representation of what you think that love might be like? I've met them. They make me laugh, not to their faces, but, you know, I chuckle, you know, it's like, they don't seem like they've embraced this. So like their witness, maybe not so great, right? And I realize like all of us in this room, we miss the plot on a regular basis, myself included, right? So I am not always a good reflection of Jesus. I own that, but I'm trying. Right? And people who know me and the conversations that I have I try to live with this genuineness that this Schweizer person is talking about, referencing what Jesus is inviting us to. So part of this living with genuineness is admitting our faults with humility, knowing that we sometimes do need to ask for forgiveness from others, that we need to ask for forgiveness from God, and own where our junk stinks, right? And we also need to acknowledge the gifts and graces that God has given us. What are we good at, right? Like, where has God blessed us? And what is God inviting us to do with those gifts? It's both and. We need to continue growing closer to God, closer to the heart of the Father, so we more easily reflect his heart to the world. You know, we're encouraged to be wise like a serpent, genuine and innocent like a dove, and also eager, right? Both in our relationship with God and how we communicate this relationship to others. Being wise, being shrewd, is an interesting combination with innocence, right? Like, to me, when I put the three together, it almost sparkles in this like magical or mysterious kind of way, because we don't see it, do we? We often see people who are very, in some ways, naive, potentially gullible. And we also see people that are so crafty and clever that they hurt others on a regular basis. We're called to meld the two, to live genuine lives of love, you know, of goodness, love, compassion, steadfastness, and mercy. So as we go this week, may God give us both the wisdom and the innocence to reflect his heart in this world. Amen.